You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World, right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happiness. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Hello and welcome to another edition of Swoop's World Primetime on a Thursday afternoon. Our guest today is going to be Jimmy Yamagishi, and we're looking forward to interviewing him. Yeah, go ahead, put that down there, brother. Peter's running over here right now, finishing up a few things and stuff like that, but we're ready to go. We had a great time last night with the regular crew on the late night show. C-Live and IC's in the chat room, and T-Bone also in the chat room, and we had a really great time. And our guest last night was Deanna Pino, who had a very, very cool story and some really great music. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. Definitely was, story was incredibly strange and like interesting,
yeah.
And then her music, she could sing. So that was very cool.
We had a good time, and you know, I was going over Jimmy's background and stuff, and he's a luthier, and about a year ago, I'd never heard of a luthier. We've had two or three on the show now since then, so it's been interesting to talk to him about that and listen to some of his music and stuff. And see, I met him over at the Coffee Gallery, which we're going to be at, or I don't know if you're going to make it, but Swoop's World will be back on Sunday night for Second Sundays at the Coffee Gallery in Altadena. That's where I first met Jimmy, and a lot of, like I tell you, so many talented people out of there. So it's amazing. Hopefully, maybe you can make it this time around.
Yeah, I'd like to. We'll see how that goes. That stuff's not always up to me.
How'd your day go so far?
Well, until my daughter said, "Oh, I'm not feeling well," and she's not one to complain. She, like, if my son says, I'm like, just, you know, leave me alone. But when she says I'm not feeling well, she's not feeling well,
and yeah,
I'll be probably running in there a couple of times because she just tossed her cookies.
Poor little girl. Yeah. Oh, she'll get better, and this heat's got to be battling her pretty tough too. So I'll tell you what we do. Why don't we take our first break and come back and introduce our guests and let everybody get the chance to meet Jimmy and hear a little bit about him and his organization and all the different things he does. He's a busy man.
All right.
We're going to let you hear some new Deanna Pino. For those of you who weren't here last night, and for those of you who were, this is called You Left Me Standing, and you're listening to Swoop's World on the Talk Story Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
Left to go, and a suitcase full of nothing but your lies. And I lost my faith in you on the way to the middle. And the time goes by as the dust settles down, as the dust settles down. You left me standing where you left me. Yeah.
Say you have plans for the perfect camping trip with your son and daughter, but even if your gear ends up on the highway, then your campground is near a beehive. It can still be the perfect trip, because kids don't always see things the way you see them.
Best trip ever, Dad!
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of siblings in foster care who'll take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Hey, there's a sharp hole in the wall, and you're listening to Swoop's World.
And welcome back to Swoop's World Primetime on a Thursday afternoon. And our guest today is Jimmy Yamagishi. How's it going, Jimmy?
Hey, doing fine.
Really happy to have you on the show, and thanks for coming out. And you always start off pretty much the same. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you come from, and how you ended up in this area, and what got you started in music.
Well, I was born and raised in East L.A., you know, so it was a whole different thing. It's like from tacos to teriyaki. You know? Very interesting. But, I started doing music. I had one of those, epiphanies, as it were. I was one of those kids that was always getting picked on and stuff, so then I got a little bit rowdier, and I wound up hanging out with some of the wrong kids. But one day, one of my friends said, "Hey, Jimmy, let's go to this camp thing." I was also in the Boy Scouts, so, camp to me was like, playing cards, sneaking some beers and stuff. Well, the Boy Scouts. So then it turned out that this was a Christian camp, so it was a whole different thing. We went to this Christian camp, and my friend got sick just before we went up, so I was there by myself with nobody that I knew. Well, my friend's about 3 years older than me. So I went up, and they started talking about what schools they were going to, and I realized that this was a collegiate camp, and because my friend was just going to be going into college. Right. And here I am in junior high. So I was like, oh, man, So I couldn't be badass at that point. It's kind of a problem. So then I was there, and these people were really nurturing, and they started to show me about this being a Christian. And I said, wow, this is really a cool thing. So I said, I'm going to turn my life around. And so coming back from the camp, then I said, I really want to turn my life around, but, being a badass, I can't really talk about this. how am I going to say, Jesus loves you? So I just figured, well, maybe I should try the music thing. So I said, all right, God, if you really want me to be a musician, when I get home from this camp thing, then I want a guitar to be on that bed. Amen. And that was my prayer. I didn't think about it. Well, I got home after the conference. I was dog tired. I just wanted to plop on my bed, but I couldn't because there was a guitar in the middle of my bed.
Really?
And I thought, wow, this is definitely a little bit strange. Well, it turned out that my kid brother had wanted to, just out of the blue, learn how to play guitar while I was away. And so my parents went out with blue chip stamps. Remember blue chip stamps?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So they went with blue chip stamps. They got a guitar, and since I wasn't home, it was on my bed. So I thought, okay, I guess this is something that I need to look at. Within a couple of weeks, I learned a few things, and I was helping to lead worship at church. And then within a couple of months, I was writing my own stuff and started a band, and that band just exploded because this was right in the middle of the Jesus movement in the 70s. And so then that band started working with other Christian artists. We were booking some of the biggest names in Christian music at the time at our church. Karen Lafferty, Children of the Day, Must Eat Faith. And I was right in there with them. So it was a lot of fun. And that's kind of how this whole thing got started. And,
wow.
And yeah, there's a lot. I mean, the story, I could go on and on. The story is just amazing.
You know, it's interesting because we've had a couple other artists on that were in the middle of a movement. The Channel 3, they came around during when punk took off, and they talk about, you know, meeting all the people who became legendary and playing with those people and watching their music grow. How was that for you?
Well, that was kind of an interesting thing because, see, here I was, my band was opening for all these big names in Christian music, and they all said, well, Jimmy, you should try, you know, getting signed to a label deal. I said, well, that sounds like a good idea. So I hit up all the Christian labels, you know, Maranatha, Benson, Word, the whole bit. And I always got a first interview, but never a second, and I was trying to figure out why. Well, then one of my friends from Maranatha came over and said, Jimmy, look at this. You got black gospel, and you got white contemporary Christian. So what are you? And I said, well, I really don't know. And he goes, well, that's exactly the point, because it's not about the music. It's not even about the ministry. It's about the money.
Marketing.
Yeah, it's about the money, you know. And they just couldn't see a market. So that got me upset enough to start my own label. So I worked with this parachurch organization. They were thinking about putting together a small label anyway. And so I said, well, I'm in. So I jumped in there, and we started promoting this other Christian songwriter from the community. His name was Wes Terasaki. And Wes Terasaki's music was already being played in all the Asian Christian churches in that area. And so I just kind of helped expand on that. I was the only one that had a band at the time, so we were able to record a lot of his music, and that was fun. And then we did a second album where I was able to put some of my own stuff on. This is still in the days of vinyl now. And so I was one of the few other artists to get something out there from the Asian Christian community, and people liked it. And so then that just kept growing. Then that band came out, Everlasting, which I wound up in there because they needed a bass player. And I was just between bands. So I said, yeah, I'll help fill in for bass. And then all of a sudden they had this call like, you know, well, we want to have a recommitment for the band. It was like a youth choir. So there's about 20 people. And so we want to recommit for the band, and we just want to see where everybody's at. Well, everybody was going to college, so everybody quit. So I was there with like three people, and we all said, well, we still want to keep going. And I said, all right, fine, what do you want to do? Well, I don't know, do you have any stuff? I said, boy, do I have stuff. So I brought in all my original music, and we brought in a couple more players. We had a friend from up north came down, and then another vocalist, her brother came down from up north, and we just started putting the band together, and we started playing out there. We toured up and down the California coast and as far east as Utah. It was amazing.
Yeah.
We had a real good run with that band, and cut two album products, one album, one on tape. you know, got some favorable reviews, got some airplay,
yeah,
and just kept going with that.
Wow.
I got kids too. Yeah, so, no.
I did have something I was going to ask. I don't know. It'll come back to me, and I'll speak up. Sorry about that.
But you know, when this is interesting, the whole marketing aspect, because we forget sometimes that things are. The companies that run these things, it is a business, but it's one of those things I wouldn't, you off the top of my head, wouldn't expect from Christian, you know, Christian music. But I guess they still go through the same marketing things as everybody else and try to figure out where you fit best and what they want to do.
Biggest building in Nashville is Word Records.
Really?
Really. The biggest building, well, I think that's changed now, but up until just a couple of years ago, the biggest building in Nashville was Word Records. You know, you got all these major labels, you got, you know, what, Sony, EMI, you know, they're all dying, but the biggest building in Nashville was Word Records. So you got to know the money's coming from somewhere. Yeah.
Well, that was going to be my question, I remember now. And we've had lots of artists in here, and at some point, you know, the artists always realize that the, you know, the art runs up against business. And you went and started your own label. Was that sort of a buzzkill for you, and how did you deal with, because a lot of people, they're like, that's when they like throw up their hands and just want to do the art.
That's kind of how I segued into SongNet, because, you know, with the label, I was also, as you said, I'm a luthier, so I was also building guitars as my day job. One of my very first clients, in fact, was Al McKay from Earth, Wind & Fire. my shop was right across the street from the Capitol Records building. So the day we opened, I get this phone call. It says, "Hey, I'm looking at you." And this is looking at me. He says, "We don't even have the number posted anywhere." He says, "Yeah, I saw it on the door when you know when you, before you opened." I said, "Really? Well, I don't see you." He says, "Look up on the tower." And it's like, 5-6 floors up, I see a hand waving. He says, "I'll be down." You know? So the guy comes down and introduces himself. And he says, "You build anything left-handed?" I says, "Well, not at this time, but, you know." And then what was really crazy was my partner at the time said, "Oh, Jimmy, you're not Japanese enough, so we need to send you to Japan." I said, "Okay." You know. So I went to Japan and I walked into the factory and I started meeting all the people. And the first thing I see on the bench is a left-handed, sort of like a George Benson-looking guitar, you know, jazz box. And I said, "Well, what's that?" And he goes, "Oh, for McKay, Earth, Wind, Fire." So, you know, I started talking about that, and we changed the design around a little bit. And, you know, I helped them with a few different things while I was over there.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a brand, Polytone Guitars. They're famous for making amplifiers. Mm-hmm. And their guitars came from the same factory. So those guitars are essentially something that I had helped design, you know, create the bridge and layouts and stuff. So it was an interesting thing.
When you had the other bands that you were in and stuff like that, is there a point you became a solo artist, right?
Well, I've always kind of been a solo artist because one of the things about being in Christian music is that if it's got Jesus or God in it, it's Christian music. It could be rap, it could be classical, it could be country, it could be anything, but it's Christian music, it's got God or Jesus, and that means that having a Christian label, you got to know all that stuff. And you got to be able to appreciate it, too, which is another thing.
Right.
And fortunately, I do appreciate all kinds of music, all genres.
Yeah.
But it also meant that producing it, I had to get into it, and that meant I was playing all these different things. So if you listen to the album, you'll hear it's a blend of all kinds of nuts stuff, because I've got real hardcore country. I was on another radio show recently, and one of the songs they played was like this real, B-Bender thing and all that. And then live, I played a jazz tune with the guy. So I was like, wow. It was real different. But that's part of music. You know, music is able to touch people in a lot of different ways, and that's right. The reason why we're doing what we do. Again, with Songnet, the way that came about was being in all those green rooms with all those major artists and stuff. I was also able to see what was going on with the opening artists.
Right.
And how those guys were starving, and how they were being abused, and how they were having all these problems because the labels only cared about their major acts and stuff like that. A lot of these guys, I mean, hell, they had to buy their own water and Coke, you know, just because I'm not that kind of drink. Yeah, I mean, it was really, these guys were really having a hard time because they almost had to finance or fund themselves just to be the opening artists for these tours.
Right.
And it was a terrible thing. I'm thinking, why are these guys taking this sort of abuse? You know, they really think that they're going to make it up to the top? And a lot of them did. They had this crazy dream that, yeah, they're going to be, you know, doing this thing, and people are going to discover them because they're opening for so-and-so, and, you know, that's like literally a one-in-a-million shot half the time.
Right.
Because, yeah, you can open for these people, but without that PR push, without the fan base, without the things that you really need to know, without the great songs, it just doesn't happen.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of these opener artists were there because they were so bad, because they didn't have the songs, so they knew that these guys were not going to upstage the major artists.
Yeah.
And it was really sad because they made these people think that, yeah, you guys got it, man, you're going to rock. You know, it's a back room. Boy, you're gonna suck. And it was just unfortunate to see that.
Yeah.
So, again, being a producer, being that, I was working with all these other major label artists, working on their guitars and stuff, I made some good connections. A friend of mine said, "Hey, we want to have a little songwriting group." So I said, "Okay, sure." So Songnet came up, and I wound up taking that over a few years, about 10 years ago now. And what Songnet does is it connects the industry and the community so that people have that opportunity to meet somebody in this industry. That can make a difference. Like last night we had Clay Drayton, who was a former Motown writer. He's got hits with Michael Jackson and Diana Ross's Preams, and this is just a major heavy hitter.
Right.
And he knows what goes on. He knows how to write a hit song. He's telling everybody how to write a hit song, and he's explaining, you know, who to talk to and how to make things happen. This is like priceless information for free.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, man, why aren't all these people coming for this? You know, we had about 20 people in there, but, you know, there's one songwriter that I know that was always at the Coffee Gallery, And I told him, hey, man, you know, we got this guy come in, because you know, I think you could really make some connections here.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I'll be in. You know, you know, he's out there talking to his girlfriend. And he missed the whole thing, you know, because he wanted to talk to his girlfriend. It could have been a life-changing opportunity, right. But he's not taking advantage of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the reason why. I can give away all kinds of stuff, but, you know, all the great information. I can tell people where there's free money. And they don't care because they want to talk to their girlfriend. That's all they want, dude, you know? If you're not going to pay attention, if you're not going to take advantage, then what's the point?
Well, Son, that's a very interesting thing. And I was reading a thing, and you said there's probably about 60,000 members worldwide, and about 400 or 500 active members in the LA County area, pretty much. Explain a little bit more. Is it a weekly meetings or monthly?
We meet the first and third Wednesday every month. Uh-huh. First Wednesday, like last night, we have somebody from the industry that comes in that can make a difference in your career. The next one coming up is in August. We have a real record label coming. Now, this is a real record label, not like, you know, just a pie in the sky kind of a thing. No, this is Gotham Records. Gotham Records has placements in major motion pictures. I mean, if you look at movies like American Pie or The Fog, you look at TV shows like Smallville, Road Rules, Osbournes, the name Gotham Records shows up because these people are supplying the music.
Right.
These are the guys that if you get them a good piece of music and it just happens to work with whatever's going on in that TV show, it will get played. You will get paid. But, hey, you know, I don't want to talk to my girlfriend.
I think I saw them. I think that they actually do the music for the Gene Simmons show.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I always see that logo when they go off the air. Yeah. Gotham music, yeah. Wow.
So that's the guy that's going to be here August 3rd at the Coffee Gallery. Yeah. It's free. You know, so any artist can afford that.
Now, what does it take to be a member of Sognet?
Show up. That's it.
Yeah.
You just show up. We can put you on our email group, and then once you're on the email group, then you'll get all the information about who's coming. It goes directly to your box via Yahoo Groups. So there's really no excuse.
Yeah. You don't have to be already a paid member of other organization.
There are a lot of other great organizations that I'm involved with as well that you know, you do have to pay a membership fee. There's a small fee for like Songs Alive,
right?
Which is an international organization. My friend Jilly has been running that for as long as I've been running Songnet.
But I meant you don't have to be like you don't have to belong to a union or something prior to being able to join Songnet.
And in fact, you may just have a general interest and you know, you don't want to get committed yet. So that's the reason why, again, we're free. This other friend of mine, he's a talk radio personality, you know, back in the day. His name was Don Elliott, a real well-known guy back in the 70s. Well, his cousin had like played some music back in like the 70s or 60s even, and he had bands and stuff, and he moved here to L.A., and he said, hey, you know, let's check this out. And so he came to Sognet. He learned all about writing music and learned all about how to make things happen. He got excited. He released a CD. The CD started getting placements, and he's got stuff in a couple different TV shows, a couple commercials, film and TV, and he's totally the songwriter now. I mean, he's all about songwriting. He's hooked up with a lot of real heavy-duty pros now, and he's real deep into it. But it's all because of just the simple free thing that he came to,
right,
that he learned, he got excited, and he took advantage of what was there. He made use of what he learned, and now he's doing it.
That's very cool. Tell us a little bit about your songwriting and what moves you and what inspires you and what's your process?
I always get that, so what comes first, the music or the words? And for me, I'm one of those where it all comes at one time. It's all about the capturing a moment or capturing a feeling or bringing something out there that I think sometimes it's cathartic, you know, where I just have to, you know, scream about something that really bothers me. Other times it's cathartic in a different way where something very emotional happens and I just want to capture that moment and put it into a song. Sometimes it's evangelistic. You know, I get excited about the things that have been happening in my life, you know, knowing that God's the one that's doing it. So, you know, I'll write a song about that, and sometimes the church will sing it. I've got a couple songs out there that have some international play amongst churches. I went to a church one day, and these people were singing one of my songs. They didn't know I had written it, but I was sitting there, and this whole choir singing my song. I was like, wow, this is great. You know? So it's cool to see that happen.
That's very nice. Very nice. Let's see what time. We're going to take a quick break, and are you going to play some songs for us today?
Yeah, I can play some, whatever you want.
Oh, man. All right. You were listening to Swoops World on the Talk Story Radio Network. Our guest today is Jimmy Yamagishi, and we're going to take another quick break and be back right after this.
I wasn't going to school because I was just making money stealing cars. And one day, I was put into juvie for 2 stolen cars, robbery of a house, and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
Well, I was 10 when I first got involved with drugs. I skipped school because, you know, nobody cared. I mean, I was on drugs, and my mom didn't really care because she was on drugs. She was never home.
When I first got pregnant, school was not important to me, so I dropped out. And now that I'm 15, I have 2 babies.
I was heading nowhere. I just thought, the only way I can make something out of my life is that if I get an education.
One day I was locked up. That's when I really realized that, I mean, it wasn't for me. Like, I was only in there 2 months, but to me that was enough. It'd be better for me to stay in school, just get my education.
I still need to go to school to make it for myself.
Stay in school. Give yourself a chance.
I think I'm happier now. I know I'm happier now.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
I have sent children into fits of rage.
I am responsible for a child's speech impediment.
I am the reason a child can't read.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home was built before 1978, log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD.
Brought to you by the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. You've seen me around the neighborhood, and you've told me I'm a pretty good kid. Well, I'm one out of every 4 children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we could grow up and be whatever we want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. There's enough food in this country to feed everyone. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is Daddy Dewdrop. Every Wednesday night. I asked about the chick, but what they said was free. Chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom, don't you just love it? Chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom, don't you just love it? Chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom, don't you just love it? Chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom, boom, boom.
And that was Daddy Dewdrop, one of our past guests, and we love Daddy Dewdrop, so let's get him back on here sometime soon.
Yeah.
Listen to Swoops World on the Primetime, Swoops World Primetime on the Talk Story Radio Network. Our guest today is Jimmy Yamagishi, and Jimmy's going to play a song for us.
Well, I can play a little bit of a couple different songs just to kind of get you out of here. I've got a band, in case somebody wants to know about that.
Yeah.
The band is called Valet, V-A-L-E-T, Valet, just like, you know, that parked car, because it's about, you know, we want to deliver the music to you. So, and we've been doing it now for not quite a year, and it's been fun. And I get to play some of the songs that, you know, I could never play in church, or songs that are a little bit different. So this is one that I duet with Gina Venturini, our primary vocalist. And you know, people get bad relationships, but they still stay in them. Well, that's kind of what this song is about. I was the guy always getting dumped. When I lock lips with you, I cannot breathe. My glasses get fogged up, and I can't see. So much fun at night, I get no sleep. You talk so much, I hardly get to speak. And I know I love you more than I should. 'Cause we're headed for a place that's no good yet. And it feels just like we're walking up the down escalator too. I can't seem to walk away from you. Want to hear all of it? You got to come down to the coffee gallery. Right?
That's cool. Yeah. I like it. I like that style too. Yeah. I love that.
And then, you know, introspectively, you know, a lot of us have a lot of friends that we just kind of lose track of, you know. But when we see them, it's just like saw them yesterday. And that's the title of this CD that I've given you here. And also, I guess, the Talk Story Radio is what you got here. So.
Yeah.
The sweet voice of acoustic guitar brought me back in time to a place that only lives way back in my mind. Hard to reach, but harder to find. Where a young boy runs through the sprinklers in the hot summer sun, slurps a cold shave ice when the day is done. Skateboards and bikes piled up on the lawn, and we were the best of friends. But that was too many days ago. And before we get much older, before all of the dreams we have come to pass, one way or another, come sit, my friend, talk story, me and you.
So. Great.
I like that.
Yeah, so that's on the CD. That's so hopefully, hopefully somebody will buy that CD, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of that, I mean, where do people find your music? Is it CD Baby?
Yeah, it's on cdbaby.com/Jimmy Yamagishi. Also, my other band, Sailor Cafe, is on there, which is an instrumental jazz band. I've got a few things that I've produced there. A guy named Chicago Red, I think, is on there. Sandy Liu is another artist. She's a college student that came up with this demo where almost every song sounded the same. I'm thinking, oh, no. But my friend Aaron Liu and I really worked hard to put this thing together, and we made an incredible CD out of, you know, what I thought was, you know, it was interesting to put all that together. Right?
Yeah.
Because even though every song sounded the same on her demo, I was able to see beyond that, and we really made something that every song sounds a little bit different. It's very cool. And what was interesting about that, and what taught me a big lesson, was that even though you know, technically, you listen to it, and it's you know, she's not Beyoncé by any means, but she's actually got a very pureness to her voice. You know, it's like somebody that you know, and that was what was really happening with her. So we sold quite a few CDs because of that. You know, yeah. People would listen to that and go, "Hey, that's me. That could be me, and I relate to that. And what she's singing about, I relate to that." And you know, I've played this thing, you know, for a lot of these music industry professionals that come through SongNet. And honestly, well, it's good, but it needs to be, and they tell me how it can be improved and all that. But at the same time, it's sold more CDs than a lot of other stuff that I've done.
Right.
Simply because there's a particular niche market that works. And a lot of people don't understand that. You know, you got to remember the big major record labels are always looking for that million selling
right.
hit.
Right, yeah.
And they're forgetting that, well, yeah, maybe you're selling a million copies, but then what about those people that are selling like 100,000? You know, and that 100,000 may be a much better deal because you don't have all these other people in that record label to pay for. You don't have to pay a publicist. You don't have to pay for all your marketing.
Right.
You don't have to pay for all the airplay or the payola and all the other nonsense that goes on with that. You don't have to pay
giant
for the
concerts.
Tour. Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know.
You know, you sell 100,000, it's cash in your pocket. Thank you very much. You know, I like that. So, you know, somebody can make an easy living off that if they know how to market to their specific niche audience.
Right. What do you tell aspiring artists, not necessarily young artists, because I've come to find out recently there's a lot of people that have retired from jobs and had an urge to play music or hadn't played for, you know, 15, 20 years and decided to pick it up now, especially with all the open mics and things like that. So what do you tell aspiring artists how to approach this business?
I always tell them there's a place for everything. Because there's a lot of people that'll tell different artists that, well, you know, your music isn't marketable, or your music sucks, actually. You know, there's some people that are that rude.
Yeah.
But there's always a niche market. One of the artists that has sold more CDs, I think, than just about anybody else, has probably the most raw CD. And honestly, I mean, the music from this person's CD kind of grates, you know, because this person can't sing in tune. And I'm not even going to say who he or she is because, I mean, it's I don't want to embarrass them, but honestly, it was one of the worst sounding CDs I've ever heard. And one day I was at this nursing home, and I was playing for, you know, people there because, you know, I do that sometimes. And there's this old lady sitting there, and after I was finished singing, she was still nodding her head and bopping along as if she was, you know, getting into it. And it dawned on me that she's deaf. Oh, my gosh, music for deaf people. Well, then I looked, and I saw this person's CD on her nightstand. And I said, oh, so you have this person's nightstand, you know, on your nightstand here. CD? Wow, this is pretty cool. And she nodded at me. She says, oh, yeah, nice person. And in fact, I bought the CD for my entire family. She says, but you're deaf, can't hear. Oh, but this person is so nice. This person comes all the time and sits with us and talks to us. And you know, because this person's such a wonderful person that, you know, I wanted to support her, so I bought the CD. And just to help her out, I bought 10 CDs. Wow. And then it dawns on me that, you know, this is a nursing home, so in maybe about 5 or 6 years, unfortunately, she's probably going to be gone. Someone else is going to be in that bed, and guess what? You know? So this person, even though they don't have the most marketable thing, it's because of their heart. It's because
right.
of who they are as people. They can go out there, they can share their music, and yeah, everyone else might say it's not really that great, but it's because of who they are and the person behind that music that they will be able to sell CDs. They will be able to make a living doing that. And they'll be able to make things go on with that. You know? This person also has some very positive songs that allows them to go out to festivals and things. And again, even though the songs aren't great, some of them are sing-along, so everyone else is sing-along. Doesn't matter if they suck. You know, everyone's singing along. And that works really good, too.
Yeah.
Because then it inspires people.
Right.
So, you know, even though some people may say, yeah, your song sucks. Well, pay attention, of course, because it's always good to improve your craft. But at the same time, don't be discouraged because there's a place for every piece of music that you got.
Right. Are you finding that the internet and all the social media and all that is, one of the things we hear is like, sometimes people are just getting lost because there's just so much. What's your kind of take on that? And do you find it overall it's a more helpful or detrimental thing to people getting out
there? If you know how
there?
To use it, it's one of the most incredible tools you can find because I found that a lot of people go out there thinking that it can be this great marketing tool and they start, you know, it's almost like cold calling everybody.
Right.
And when I teach at MI every now and then, I use this example where I grab this thing of chocolate. You know, you buy those little miniature chocolate things.
Yeah.
And then I'll throw it out at the whole audience, at the whole classroom, and everybody's going, whoa, 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 free chocolate, except a few people that are allergic. And they will, well, gee, you know, that's nice, but I'm allergic to chocolate. So it's exactly what's going on here. Now, see, if you take your music and you put it out there for everybody and you don't aim at anybody, Some of it's going to wind up on the floor. Some of them will get appreciated. But some of them are just going to say, man, you know, that's kind of rude. I just got hit in the face with a piece of chocolate. I'm allergic. I don't want that. Right? So sometimes that doesn't work. And the percentages are not really that good. You know, I've got 30 pieces of chocolate in this bag. I threw it out there to 35 people in this classroom. Maybe 6 people picked it up and ate it. And the rest of them just kind of get lost or some melted on the floor. You know, that's less than 10%.
Right.
You know, what's going on here? Whereas if I'm playing my music or if I go to a friend's house and I know that friend likes chocolate and I just put out 5 pieces of chocolate there, bam, it gets snatched right up. I put another 5 out there, it gets snatched right up. Eventually, the bag is empty, but everybody has enjoyed the chocolate.
Right.
Which means the same thing with your music. As long as you know where your niche market lies, then you know you can always sell that niche market. You can always find people that will appreciate your music. And sometimes music doesn't even have to be something that can be appreciated because it fits something. One of my favorite stories is this music supervisor friend of mine. What he told me that one of the biggest money makers he's got is the worst piece of music he had. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, one day he got this bad demo. I mean, the demo was terrible. He says, what am I going to do? He says, why would everybody have the audacity to send something this bad? Well, then he got a phone call. And the phone call said, hi, I'm looking for a really bad piece of music. Is it really bad? Boy, have I got some for you. So he asked the guy, you know, the TV show guy, music guy, he said, so why do you need this piece of music that's so bad? He says, well, this guy works for South Park. And he goes, well, this episode of South Park, Cartman starts the worst garage band in the world. And I need the most suck piece of music you've got. Well, of course, being South Park, you know, it's a very popular show, and not only that, Cartman's a very popular character, so you put it all together. This is a very popular episode that gets rebroadcast, syndicated worldwide a lot. And it just so happened that, of course, he had the right music at the right time, and somebody's making some bank off of something that really sucks. Not that that's going to happen to everybody.
That shouldn't be your goal. That's right. But you just never know.
You never know, and it really proves that, you know, again, there's music has a place.
Yeah.
Every piece of music has some place to be.
Maybe you and I need to start a band.
That being said, I guess you would actually, you have to take that into consideration when you decide which open mics you're going to or which venues you're going to play also, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. Because there's some open mics that, well, that's another thing about open mics. You know, open mics are a whole different culture, and a lot of people don't get it. When you go to an open mic, it's almost like surfing. You know, these days, back when we were kids, you know, you can go surfing, no problem. But now you go to surf it at a beach, and it's like Nazis over there, man. It's like, hey, where are you from? Or, hey, who invited you to this wave?
Locals,
you know?
Only.
Yeah, locals only. And I'm going, man, what is this? You know, but that's really true. Sometimes you go to open mic, and they'll shut you out if they don't know who you are or you don't have any friends at open mic. You've got to be able to make those friends happen. You've got to be personable. You've got to have something to offer.
Right.
I've been to some open mics where they've just completely passed me up, you know, very rudely, as if, you know, who are you to even think that you're going to play at this open mic? I'm thinking, okay, that's fine. So next time I come and I'll make sure that I buy a cup of coffee or a beer for the guy running the thing. Oh, yeah, now you can play. Sure.
You're next up.
That's all it takes sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And then if the music is good, then they'll say, oh, we'd like to have you back. Or everybody in the audience says, wow, you know, you actually can write a decent song. You know, we'd like you to come back. And you start making some friends. When you make those friends, those connections are the ones that are probably going to buy your CD or at least recommend it or remember you when, you know, Aunt Susie's dog passes away and you've got a song about dog passing away. Well, there you go. You know, you've just made a sale.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that it takes these days to really put your music out there. To find that niche market, to find those people that appreciate what you do at an open mic, at any kind of an event, and make it happen.
Speaking of that, any places you're playing in the near future?
Well, Sunday night, I'm at the Coffee Gallery almost all the time now. One of my friends, a guy named Calvin Joe, I play with him a lot at different churches. In fact, I'll be playing with him Carmageddon weekend at a church in Sierra Madre, I believe it is. Oh, no, I'm playing with him Carmageddon weekend down at First Chinese Baptist Church downtown. Mm-hmm. The following weekend I'm playing at a different place. But that, Calvin's amazing. He sounds like Neil Diamond, but he looks like an accountant. You know, it's a scary But I'll be playing with him on Sunday. And I brought him to the open mic just because he wanted to know what it was about. And he just fell in love with the one at the coffee gallery because it's one of the few where everybody loves each other. It's like a wide open thing. When you've played a couple of times, they get to know you. It's like the Cheers bar. Hey, Norm! So now it's literally, it's like, hey, Calvin! And, hey, Jimmy! And sometimes I'll walk in there and my name's already on the list even though I haven't even signed up, you know, because they know I'm coming. That's the kind of place that it is. It's very much like a family.
I really enjoy being there. You know, it's living in Long Beach and driving out there for you know, one Sunday a month. You know, when I first did it, it was like, oh, this is all right, because I don't mind driving. I drove a lot for work and stuff, but when I, you know, we decided to continue on, it's like it was an easy decision to make because the place is amazing and the people there are just wonderful. So
yeah, well, you know, Julie is one of the best you know, people out there that supports the arts in all different ways. You know, you know, she plays the violin every now and then there, but more than that, you know, she's also a comedian, and she really makes sure that everybody's taken care of. So that's a very good thing, and that's why we really like the coffee gallery.
Cool. Now let's talk a little bit about you're a luthier. And you mentioned a little bit about that. How did you get into that? I mean, where did that start?
Well, remember that blue chip stamp guitar?
Yeah.
It was such a piece of garbage. I had to fix it the day I got it just to make it playable. And then it started falling apart, and then one day it completely broke. So I really had to learn a lot about fixing it. And there is this guitar shop near my house, Bernardo Rico. BC Rich now is the current brand name that comes out of it. Back in those days, Bernardo had a little guitar shop across from Jack in the Box on Brooklyn, East LA. And I'd hang out there, and the old man there, I guess Bernardo's father, Bernardo Sr., was showing me a lot of things about how to fix guitars. He's, oh, well, you know, this guitar is a cheap guitar, but you can make this and make it a little bit better. And he showed me some things. Oh, well, that's pretty good. And then he showed me how to build a guitar, you know, the Mexican style, you know, from a place called Paracho, which is a very famous guitar building town. And so he showed me some of that stuff. And then there's another guy named Candelario Delgado who had another shop on Sunset. And I went over there every now and then, and I'd learn more from him. And he was this real laid-back kind of a guy. And we'd sit there, and even though I was a little underage, we had a beer or two. You know, it was a lot of fun. And I really got to know him well. You know, he passed away a while back, but he was a good guy. So then after I learned all this stuff, then an opportunity came up to work at a guitar distributor working on Alvarez Yari guitars. Mm-hmm. And so it was just basic setting them up and making sure quality assurance and all that.
Right.
And while I was there, then I learned even more from guys that were, you know, real serious diehard, you know, from the ground up builders. And so I started building solid body electrics just for myself, just for the heck of it, and modifying other guitars to make them a little better. Sadly, a couple of them were vintage guitars, but they weren't vintage at that time. They were just old. But, you know, you learn that way, and I found out what makes them tick and how to make them work better. And so then after working there for a few years, then another friend of mine wanted to start up a business because he was importing guitars. And he was a bass player, but he didn't know anything about the mechanics of an instrument. I did, so we hooked up and we started a business. We were out in Marina Del Rey. That was the first shop, and it went really well. People were coming long distances just to come to our shop because they appreciated what I was able to do with their guitars. And then my friend that I started the business with, his father, I guess he got some crazy fishing rights to bring Japanese boats into Mexico. So he was like an overnight billionaire or something like that. But he needed my friend to help run that business. And so he took off. Then the importer guy he was working for previously said, whoa, well, come work with us. And so I did that for a little while. And then I guess the main factory in Japan that he was importing for says, oh, well, we need somebody over there. So that's why I opened up Performance Guitar with this other guy, Kuni Sugai.
Wow.
And we had this clientele that was just crazy. Andrew Gold was another one of our first customers. And he just passed away recently, but we built him a guitar that looked like a Rickenbacker, so it was just a little bit bigger, and it had Strat pickups, you know, Fender pickups underneath Rickenbacker covers. So people looking at the guitar would first guess, it looks like a Rickenbacker, but it looks big. Maybe Andrew's too small. it just looked a little bit different, and it was an incredible guitar. So that's how we started building this clientele. You know, we got more and more. Ricky Lee Jones came in one day, you know, and she bought a guitar from us, and her primary lead guitar player kept coming in over and over, Dave Kalish. He just kept coming in, and he'd bring all these studio guys in all the time. And, what's his name? Ike Turner would come in every now and then. You would buy guitars from him and stuff. Steven Stills was another guy that
wow.
he came into the shop, and you know, Steven, I mean, he's got this reputation, and it's not too far off the mark. He was one of the few people I had to throw out of the shop. He was getting into it so much, he started breaking strings on every instrument on the wall. And finally, I said, Steve, you know, if you're going to keep it coming in here and busting all the strings, I can't let you come in here anymore, man. You know, I'm sure he got a little offended, but I never saw him again after that. Yeah, but he'd come in like that, and who else was there? Bass player. He's played with him all the time. But, yeah, again, same thing. All these guys from MI, you know, the Musicians Institute. Back then it was called GIT. And the Guitar Institute of Technology, and they'd be coming in all the time, and I'd work on their guitars. Some of them have become very famous and done pretty well.
So do you do more, like, build from the ground up, or take something and change it up?
Usually it's all about modifications and stuff. And even more recently, I've been importing guitars, or, you know, finding people that will import guitars for me or with me. And they're like cheap instruments, like $100 Strats, you know, or Strat copies.
Mm-hmm.
They play good. Yeah, they kind of look a little funky, but yeah, they play good. And the only thing that makes them not really great is the pickups. So I'll just swap out the pickups, maybe a little bit of the hardware, and all of a sudden you got this killer guitar that you can take out on a gig anywhere.
Right.
You know, and if it gets stolen, oh well, it's $100 Strat. You know, and start over again. Other times we'll get these cheap guitars like that, and we'll try different pickups in them. We'll try different hardware on them. We'll try all kinds of different things, different modifications.
Right.
Sometimes we'll cut the body up or contour it differently until it feels right. And then after we've completely trashed this $100 guitar, then he'll come in and we'll make a custom one with fine exotic woods and stuff from the ground up, which looks beautiful. It sounds incredible and else, but in reality, it sounds and plays just like the $100 guitar we modified. It's just a little prettier. That's about
yeah.
it. And that's really where it's at, too. You know, like even with these guitars that I play, these Sunlight guitars, Sunlight's a great company. They build these guitars, they sound incredible, but they've got Sunlight on the headstock. You know, they don't have Taylor or Martin or anything else. I've compared this particular guitar to some, you know, very fine Taylor instruments, and the Taylor instruments sound just a little bit better.
Right.
But when you're at an open mic or you're playing live through a PA system, you can't tell the difference.
Right.
It's all matter about the playability, and these things play great, so there's no problem. That's why I'm endorsed with them.
Right.
And that's another interesting thing, too. You know, a lot of artists don't get the endorsement thing. Sunlight gives me guitars because I help them out. You know, I play their trade shows and everything else. So they give me guitars. It's a great endorsement deal.
Yeah.
I've got friends that have endorsement deals with major companies, and I say, oh, nice guitars. Yeah, I'm endorsed by this company. So, oh, great. Did they give you... Oh, no, they sold to me at cost. Oh, well, how much was cost? $2,000. Oh, yeah, $2,000. Great, yeah. Real endorsement. Love that. You know? Yeah, so I don't know. It's one of those things. If you're going to be endorsed by somebody, if somebody's going to support you, then they should support you, I believe.
Right.
You know? All the way through. And Sunlight's been real good with that. There's another radio show host, in fact, online. Her name's Jeannie Cunningham. She runs something called the Composer's Corner online podcast. And now she's an endorser because, you know, she loves the guitars, and she's been playing different instruments all her life. And she could get these high-end guitars because she used to tour with, you know, all kinds of famous people.
Yeah.
But no, she loves the Sunlight, and she plays the Sunlight, and she's endorsed by Sunlight, and she plays trade shows with me all the time. You know. Del Casher, the guy who invented the wah-wah pedal. You know, same thing.
Yeah.
He's the only other guy in the catalog besides me, and he plays a Sunlight acoustic because that's what he uses in the studio to record with.
Wow. Now, is too much knowledge a good thing? And when you get a guitar that you're going to play, do you tinker with it a whole lot? Or?
Well, I do set up the action, you know, because I had a pretty major, almost near-fatal accident a couple decades ago, and it trashed my left hand. I mean, you can kind of see here, the knuckles are kind of flat here. Mm-hmm. And so my left hand's a little bit weak, so I have to have really, really good action on all my guitars. And being a luthier and a setup guy, tech, guitar tech, I guess I could set them up so they don't buzz even when their strings are practically on the frets.
Yeah.
Anybody else plays my guitar, just buzz sick. For me, you know, I can play just fine, and it sounds fine, and that works.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, it's time for another break. We'll take another quick break and come back with Jimmy Yamagishi. You're listening to Swoops World on the Talk Story Radio Network. And, you know, we'll just do a quick little song here, and we'll be back after this. This is John Mulvey.
August 15th, my joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
I need some answers. September 3rd, I'm tired all the time. What's
going on? June 8th, I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question.
Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
This is Last Day Off,
and you're listening to Swoops World Radio.
Welcome back to Swoops World on the Talk Story Radio Network, and our guest today is Jimmy Yamagishi, and we just had a wonderful time here. And time flies. I tell you, we've had some guests here that I don't think we just have enough time for, and we're going to have to bring them back, and Jimmy's one of those guys.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Is there anything we didn't cover that you'd like to let our listeners know about?
Well, again, you know, www.thesongnet.org. Music should be orgasmic, so it's a .org, and we've been around for over a decade, and we'd love to see more of you guys out there. Check us out on not on our website, but also on our Facebook page. I think we still have a MySpace page, even though that's kind of, you know, and we got Twitter. And then check out my band. The band is called Valet. Valet is also on Facebook. We've got a couple things up on YouTube. You can check that out. Of course, myself, Jimmy, J-I-M-I. Yamagishi, jimmyyamagishi.com. I've got some of my music up there. I've got stuff on CD Baby. And you just feel free to hit me up. You know, if you hit me up through the site, I'd love to talk with anybody that listens to this show. And, you know, if they need to get hooked up somehow, you know, I'd be happy to hook them up. But, you know, like I was just saying, you can lead a horse to water. Right? Go talk to the girlfriend.
Absolutely. Well, for those of you who didn't get it all, if you go to the swoopsworld.com and click on the post about Jimmy, which is the top post up on the website on the homepage, there is a link to his website, jimmyyamagishi.com. And I think you can have all your links to the other ones from there, too. Links, right?
And then also we're linked up to a lot of different songwriting organizations. Again, I mentioned Songs Alive, which is an international organization that I'm affiliated with. They do very, very good. Yeah. NSAI, National Songwriters, they do a lot of good stuff. There's a new one out there, the San Gabriel Valley Music, I think it is, which is run by Joanne Ledesma. She's somebody that places a lot of music for us. And she realized that, you know, all these legends came from East L.A., she says, "Well, what's with this? You know, says, I don't want to go to Hollywood anymore." So she's doing this thing out in San Gabriel Valley now, and just starting that up. That's a lot of fun.
We had some Arthur Rolleros from East LA, Barry and
I think so.
Bush.
Yeah, I think so.
We had the Rolleros brothers. I don't know if you're not familiar with them, but they did a lot of things with going back to the Righteous Brothers and
Redbone,
Ray Charles, Ray and stuff Charles. Like that. So it's the community is ripe.
Huh? Oh yeah, I mean everybody's from the War and all. I mean, yeah. These guys are all from that area.
Yeah.
Midnighters. Really? I used to have a 68 chart myself.
Well, good times, Jimmy. I really appreciate you coming out, and hopefully we can have you back again sometime soon. And I know I'll see you Sunday night over at the Coffee Gallery.
Absolutely.
It's been a pleasure, and just wonderful music, a wonderful human being, and we just enjoy having you on the show.
Well, thank you very much, Swoop and Peter.
Mm-hmm. You listen to Swoops World on Talk Story Radio Network. We're going to take another quick break, and then we'll be back with, is Max going to do his thing? Or
he's ready for it.
All right, we're going to have a little bit of gamers with Max. Sean's not going to be with us today, but we'll have Max out here in a minute. So, let's see, we'll give you a, who have we had on recently that we haven't played in a while? Oh, how about Mind the Gap? And this is called Fall.
Watch the leaves fall off the trees. Burns my heart inside of me. Leaning on the window pane. The sky is turning blue to gray. Sun is gone, harder and harder to hold on. Feel it break, the walls are shaking. Loss of fame, my heart is aching.
days are short, the nights are long. The colors of the rainbow all but gone. The birds all fly, flying away. No kids will come outside to play. Oh, 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 I'm getting colder. Our love is quickly growing thin. And nothing ever, ever stays the same.
Let's say you have plans for the perfect camping trip with your son and daughter, but even if your gear ends up on the highway, then your campground is near a beehive. It can still be the perfect trip, because kids don't always see things the way you see them.
Best trip ever, Dad!
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of siblings in foster care who'll take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Hey, there's a shot hole on the wall, and you're listening to Soup's World.
And welcome back to Soup's World. And, you know, we've been doing it on primetime lately. We did it once before, and then things have happened in the last couple of weeks. But without Sean, we have Max here for our gamer segment. And you got some new information on video games for us, huh, Max?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Tell us what's going on, man.
Okay. So today, I'm going to talk, first things, I'm going to talk to you about PlayStation Network versus Xbox Live. Now, PlayStation Network is more complicated, but doesn't have as good a security as Xbox Live does. But Xbox Live has less errors, and it can go farther. Like you can play. I played with someone in Japan before. It was really awkward.
Because you couldn't understand him.
He was speaking Japanese too.
Well, that would make sense.
But you don't have to pay for PlayStation Network. But I still rather have Xbox Live because better security. Because in the in the hacking of the PlayStation Network, a lot of people lost their credit card numbers. That's bad.
Cool. What other what new games have you been playing lately?
None really. But I did get the new map packs for World at War, so that's pretty good.
Hey, so now if somebody has a, say, you know, an older sibling and there's a younger sibling, is there a good game out there for
the two of them? There's actually a few. If you're into racing games, there's this game called Sonic and Sega All-Star Racing. Personally, it's not a very good game, but that's my opinion.
But that's one that kids of different ages could play together, perhaps?
Yeah, yeah.
What else is there in that category?
Well, if you turn off the blood on Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, you could play that. But there's also a really cool medieval one for PlayStation Network and Xbox Live Arcade called Castle Crashers. Cool. And I like that one. That's my favorite arcade game ever. And I play with my sister a lot.
Very cool.
Anything
else out there for the parent that wants to get something for kids of different ages?
Oh, okay. So, like, if you're going for, like, really young kids who are just getting into video games, Lego Pirates of the Caribbean is a good starter, because I started with Lego Star Wars, the first one of the whole series, and I loved it.
So all the Lego ones are good then, aren't they? Or no?
No. Lego Batman is horrible, just pathetic. Lego Indiana Jones is okay. Lego Star Wars is great. Lego Harry Potter is great, because I'm a big Harry Potter fan. And I never played Pirates of the Caribbean, but it got pretty good because especially the first part, which is the first movie, and everybody loves the first movie. Yeah, it got pretty good ratings. And then they got the Star Wars The Clone Wars, which I think is just, like, pathetic because I hated that TV show. but, like, kids, like, boys especially, like, from, like, 6 to 8 will really like that one.
Which one?
Lego Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Okay.
Now, most of the games you play on, you have the Xbox, right?
Yeah.
Most of the games you play, are those multiple player games, or is it
Xbox Live? Yeah.
And you can always play with people via the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And
you have to buy time on that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have been playing like 2 hours ago when my sister was sick. So.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you're playing with people via the internet, you said you played somebody from Japan. What other countries have you played? People from other countries.
Oh, this is Australia, Greenland, China, France, England. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, so have you enjoyed meeting new people that way?
Well,
it's not so much meeting, it's killing, right?
No. All those that I met in different countries that I actually know are we're playing zombies, so we're working together.
Cooperative killing game.
Yeah, and so but the French and the Japanese guy, they're really hard. I'm like, go left. He starts running right.
Well, you know, you're going to learn some new languages, exactly. Well, very cool, Max.
Yeah.
Got anything else for us, man?
Well, I was going to talk about Halo.
This is your time, man.
Halo versus Mass Effect 3.
And your thoughts?
Okay. Halo is way better than Mass Effect 3, I think.
Have you played Mass Effect?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's more for adults.
Okay.
Halo has a very mild M rating. It should really be rated T, because it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm. And what does a T mean?
T is for teen.
And M is for mature?
Mature, 17 and older.
It's like rated R for movies, basically.
Yeah. Basically. And then they also have the ultimate rating, which is AO, which is basically X.
How many games are there that have AO rating?
12.
12?
In the whole world, yeah. 12.
Do we own any of those? Do you own any of those titles?
You would get arrested if I did.
That's why he's looking into it.
That's why I'm
making
sure.
Oh, you know what?
Very cool. Now, so next week, what can we expect to hear about?
I got from Max next week. Max will be in.
That's right.
You don't shut up.
He'll be camping.
He'll be camping.
Oh yeah, right. yeah. But the week after that, you might. I don't know. I have to talk with Sean. But you might just might hear something about the best game. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Max, for the gamers update. And we'll get to... Yeah, T-Bone, I hear you. he's funny. He's got that all figured out. And when him and Sean get together and talk about that, it's even funnier. But they really put a lot of effort into it. And
they have strong opinions. Yes, he did a lot of research on his stuff. And he actually had a... We were at a restaurant, and this older guy, guy was probably 40s, you know, so older than Max, older guy. And his girlfriend, wife were there. And, you know, you could tell they were kind of like miffed that they were sitting next to kids. They had that sort of air about them. And then we gave Max some money to go put in the jukebox that they had played. And so he picked out some stuff that the guy liked. He's like, you know, Max comes back like, AC/DC playing and Ozzy Osbourne or something like that. And he's like, did you pick these? And Max's like, yeah, man, this is good stuff. And so now the guy's talking to him. And turns out this guy's a total, yeah, he's in his 40s at least. He's a total gamer. You know, he has no kids of his own. He's a total gamer. He'll get on the game and he'll literally be on there for like days on end. He won't eat. He won't nothing, you know. And so they are debating. And this guy's a PlayStation guy. You know, Max is an Xbox guy, as you heard. So anyway, he had a whole debate, and that's why I think he brought that up. And he came home and looked in his thing and found out, and that's how he confirmed that PlayStation. He didn't believe the guy that PlayStation's platform was free. Or they're not their platform, but their internet. And so anyhow, the whole debate, and it was pretty funny to watch. Man, here's this guy that just, you could tell by the time he left, he's like, in his mind, saying, kids might be okay. At least that one. You know, so it was funny. It was a funny moment. But he had a good time debating with them over the merits. The guy hated Halo and preferred Mass Effect, so that's why we got a little bit of that, I suspect.
Ah, I see.
So, anyway. It was good.
Oh, cool.
It was fun.
Well, we're gonna wrap this up because my kid's playing soccer right now, and maybe I can meet there before the game's over. Next week on Swoops World, let's see who we got going. Who did I tell you we had last night?
I don't know.
Next week on Swoops World Late Night, Wednesday night, we have Deborah Crooks, past guest, singer-songwriter from the Bay Area. And on Thursday primetime, Children Today. So we thank you for listening. Thank you for all the support that we've been receiving lately. And definitely tune in Sunday, 7 o'clock. I think it's 7 o'clock. Yeah, Tuesday, Sunday night, 7 o'clock. We'll be broadcasting live from the Coffee Gallery in Altadena. But that's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks for listening. And always find us on Facebook, Twitter, and if you want to send us an email, swoopsworld@gmail.com. Good night, all.
Good night.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Exactly.
Take it down the hood.